If you want to try to stump the unstumpable, you want to try to master the unmasterable and beat the unbeatable, have me on Friday.
Can you sub-so crush fear me?
Whatever the hell you like, James.
True. Ooh, yeah. Into a sling jam.
Oh, boy. I am honestly excited about this.
Ooh. Ooh. That's what, Mad Dog McGee?
That is Mad Dog McGee.
Okay. The ex-wrestler who wants to come in tomorrow.
Yeah, and every time he sees, like, if he was at Alice's restaurant and he saw the redhead walking by, he go,
ooh.
All right. So here is the deal. It is a Crush the Crew contest. And...
At this time, tomorrow.
At this time tomorrow, and Sarge is going to be in it. James Stewart is going to be in it. We've had people send in wrestling promos trying to get in it. The guy from Machine is going to be the manager of Sarge.
Fred, hello!
Sarge is very excited. I'm sure he'll bring in all his fake belts that he bought. Jimmy Stewart is very excited. He's promising... all this stuff from wrestlers. I have no idea what's going to be in the studio.
Narrowing this down for our contestants is going to be very tough because, as I was saying before, I mean, there's so many good ones. Do we just have like two or three, or do we do like a battle royale?
No, you can't.
Just have like 80 of them in the studio.
No, you got it. I'm not positive what the rules are, but I don't want to have above three.
All right. Well, we have...
Because we do have the guy from Machine who's going to hype up. The guy from Machine is going to be the first one through the door.
Yep.
Pass the cheese!
We have his song, right?
Oh, yeah, of course we do. I'll have to pull it up in a minute.
But yeah,
I mean,
because that will be the entrance music.
Okay. All right. Sure, of course.
That will be Sarge's intro music.
It's Sarge's intro music?
Yeah. Because the guy from Machine comes in... And he's the manager. He's the hype man.
I have to get his name. There's a rapper in town who actually wrote a Sarge theme song, like an entrance theme.
Well, I like the guy from Machines.
Guy from Machines is nothing beats Guy from Machines. Although yesterday, going through videos for people to be contestants, there were some strange ones that I would click on to, including this gentleman. His name is Alicia, and Alicia's just a dude with his shirt off, wearing glasses.
He's got a mustache.
He's got a mustache. Not really put much effort into things.
No.
Oh. Hi there.
That's what I was like.
Him and Joe Murray has put the least amount of
effort. Well, Joe Murray looks like he's just like taking a video selfie after he just woke up. And you're like, yo, hey,
yeah. Yeah, he looks like he's in like a donut coma.
So shall we hear
from Joe Murray?
Goodness. I'm not discounting. He might be lying down.
He's got to be lying down.
He's lying down.
Well, how much of the day do you think he's sitting up? I love listening to Joe Murray on the weekends because, all right, so the two other guys in the show are freaking out about the Celtics losing to Houston. And then, like, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, whatever. And then Joe Murray pops up. Well, you have to realize they did cover the spread.
Yeah, you know, if you need a spread.
Oh, he's like just a degenerate gambler.
Joe Murray's the kind of contact.
Like, you'll see him, Joe Murray, it'll be like Sunday, and you'll hear him get excited. And it would be like Drexel just took the lead over Manhattan. All right, so who do we have?
You're elite. Okay, this is the guy, no shirt on.
Maybe we should do a betting with Joe Murray.
What did you lose money on this weekend?
Yeah. All right.
Bad bets with Joe Murray.
All right, so who is this? Is this a female?
No, it's Alicia. It's a guy.
Oh, of course, it's Alicia, a guy.
Yeah, yeah. This is the dude with the shirt off. This is the guy I was telling you. This is the
but
fitter.
Alicia is a female name.
But his name is Alicia with an E.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Good.
My name's Alicia. I'm the son of a rabbi. I may not be smart. I may not be good looking. I may not be employed. But I do know pro wrestling. And this Friday, Sarge, I'm coming for you. And that's just too sweet.
All right, I don't even
know.
Okay.
Oh. His character is the most uninteresting person on the planet.
We should have him come in only if he just has no shirt on and just puts as much effort into his appearance as he did his promo.
Hey, guys.
Hey. The unenthusiastic wrestler.
I really want to be on the Wheel of Fortune.
Hi, I'm here.
The anti-promo. I liked it. He used reverse psychology to get arrested.
I'm here, guys.
I'm not very athletic.
Let's get started.
I like just the son of a rabbi. Okay.
That's right. So he's got God on his side with a line between G and D.
That's right. That's right. Who is next?
All right, the next person is this is Frankie. Frankie from Eastie. He's very, very, very upset with the way some things have been going, with the description of certain establishments. I don't even know if he really wants to be part of this. He just wants to set some suckers straight.
He has some grievances he wants to air.
Yeah, so let's take a listen.
So the Kowloon crew wants to have a little competition. Frankie from East Boston accepts your challenge. First things first. Kowloon's overrated.
Hey, guys. No. No.
No, we can't have that on here.
Stop the presses. No.
Protect the Don. Protect the Don.
Dude, seriously, favor none of that.
The Saugus Wings, overrated. I can give you five other Chinese food restaurants that do it better. And all five of those restaurants are located right here in the best part of the city, East Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
All right, this is Wiggins. This is Wiggins doing a voice.
Under a fake voice and wearing a mask.
Yeah.
They are more better.
Although he's too literate.
So you guys can run your mouth. Say you know more about wrestling than the rest of us. Frankie from East Boston is going to show you that you're wrong.
He just submitted something just to say, listen, Saugus Wings, by the way, that offended Bird in the other room.
Oh, like, did it really?
Bird legitimately got pissed.
Wow. All right, well, if to reestablish something that happened yesterday, Jimmy Stewart's been a great help with this, and he has a sense of humor about it. But we had this idea, not to have Andy Wong in studio, just to have him tape something.
I still think he'll do it.
That's fine, but just, like, the protection of him. He was like a press agent.
He's like, guys, first of all, he's like, he's not that tech savvy.
like he knows Andy Wong's that tech savvy. And second of all, he goes,
I'm guessing he's not going to do it.
And it was like something really easy, like just something like it just basically like, I'm Andy Wong, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but it was like, he was like his protector.
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, you've got to have some sort of wall between our shenanigans and the Don father, the Wong father.
I'm not sure Andy's going to go for that. I'm guessing no, just to prepare yourselves for the blow.
All right, well, Rich, the Wonginator, if he's involved or not, it doesn't matter because we have one final promo to play for you today.
Yeah, this is the Ultimate LJF, and the Ultimate LJF, he made himself a nice little promo. He is fairly energized.
Family, friends, and professional wrestling. Anybody that knows me knows that in no particular order, those three things are the most important thing in this guy's life. Tune in to 98.5 The Sports Hub on Friday morning for a quick history lesson on the sport that is professional wrestling, taught to you by the guy with more knowledge than Dean Douglas, by the man with more energy than the Ultimate Warrior sprinting to the ring and running through opponents, by the man with more power than Hogan when he picked up and slammed Andre in front of 93,000 screaming.
I was there.
And one Fred Toucher.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Anytime you mentioned that, I got to say I was there.
In front of 93,000 screaming fans at the Pontiac Silverdome in 1987. I am coming for you. Stand by because the champ is here.
And then his head exploded.
Well, it's going to be a tall order.
Like scanners.
I'll just tell you one thing. I do like one person, and it's not my decision entirely.
Ooh. You like Mad Dog McGee or whatever his name is?
Yeah, I just see like, hey, check out this 72 Camaro. Boy, she looks nice.
Ooh.
Ooh.
beat from Wingers about to...
Red Beach.
From Wingers about to let loose.
Ooh.
Ooh, look at all these roller mamas. I like them short shorts.
Ooh.
Look at it. She looks like she's smuggling some puppies.
Ooh.
Saturday afternoon cruise at Hampton Beach.
Ooh.
Don't mind if I do.
Ooh, it looks like someone's got a little booger sugar. Time to ride the bonsai pop line.
Ooh.
All right.
Oh.
Ooh. drum machine's easy
tough.
Name this song.
Ooh. Oh, it's easy tough. Oh, wait.
It's the best song title ever.
Look at the hook. Run the scenes on your fly blue jeans. Say yeah.
Velcro fly.
Nice job. I was going to say pearl necklace, but that's not right.
It is Velcro fly.
I'm sure it's.
They look much different. They sound much different.
She's got a Velcro fly, so it's easy to bang her. I don't have to undo any buttons. Hey there, lady, got a Velcro fly. It's time to get my tube snake boogie with you. Hey there, booby lady.
That's the name of their third album.
You got a pair of coconuts and I got the banana.
He's comparing fornicating to eating a burger.
If you need a slice of thrilling, I'm the
yeah, this is really a bad one. This is stretching.
That is pretty bad. It ain't the tube snake boogie.
Yeah, right? Tube snake.
The tube snake boogie. What kind of boogie she do?
All right, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Snapple.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Warns a steal. Pasternak to Martian. Unselfish. And Nielsen is down face first in the Detroit defensive zone. I heard it. I did not see it.
Well, after the puck is gone, Backes delivers a late, high hit that makes substantial head contact with the head of Nielsen. This is interference. While we acknowledge Backes' attempt to contort his body in a way that might minimize the force of the hit, what results is a hit with substantial and forceful contact to Nielsen's head. The Department of Player Safety has suspended David Backes for 3 games.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We are Toucher and Rich, I just said. By the way, David Backes, that is the league commenting on why he was suspended for 3 days for a late hit. And it is ridiculous suspension. They even admitted it that he tried to contort his body. I mean, Backes is in his mid-30s. He has a pristine record.
It's like 848 games played, and he's never been suspended?
No, he's never been suspended. So the NHL has taken it upon themselves to vastly overpunish him.
Well, here's the thing that's infuriating about this, is that me, for one, I know that the NHL came out at the beginning of the season, and it was basically a no-mercy policy. If you target the head, and if it's a late hit, and you go to the head, and they get injured, they're not going to have a lot of leniency, even with a guy like him. The 3 games, I think, is something that is probably to be expected, but here's why it's so infuriating, is that, do you guys remember, there was a hit the Hornquist hit with, was it McAvoy the other day, where Hornquist went right on McAvoy's head. I watched that play. It's fairly close to what Backus did. And where was the suspension for that? There's no consistency in these penalties. That's the only problem. If you're going to tell everyone in the NHL that you're going to come down with a hammer on hits to the head, I totally understand it. I get it. And since they kind of did that at the beginning of the season and Backus gets 3 games, I get it. But don't go giving him a suspension and then completely overlooking one that looked almost exactly like it just a couple days ago.
It's not even a clear...
No, it's clear. That puck was off his stick for so long.
That's fine. Then you can call it a late hit, but he goes in with his shoulder. The guy from Detroit moves his head down, and then the shoulder makes contact with the head. I mean, this isn't some vicious intent to hit.
See, I didn't notice him lowering his head into his shoulder, because Backus went up. Like, Backus goes up, and I mean, there's no denying that he moved up towards his head.
No, he tried to contort his body to get out of the way. He turns to the side.
But that is something that could have been avoided so easily, and I think that's another part of it. The injury is the main thing. But then they looked at just how long he had to stop himself or to move himself out of the way.
I don't know why you give 3 games to a guy that has that long a track record of not being a dirty player.
Fred, I understand that, but they've warned everyone. I just hate the inconsistency on all this.
Well,
call it everywhere then. And by the way, the Bruins now, they have been fined more or given up more money to forfeited salary than any other team in the league this year.
Well, they have Marchand on the team.
And so that's one of the main reasons.
Yeah,
that is the main reason.
I got the Marchand suspension. I get it. He's on a very tight rope. If Marchand makes a mistake, he's going to get punished more than the average player. But if you're going to do that, then you got to give leeway to a guy who hasn't been in discipline before. I mean, if you're going to punish a guy for being under discipline a bunch of times, then shouldn't a clean record also help you?
I know there's wiggle room, especially because Nielsen didn't return, and they said that was factored in. If you're going to factor that in, why don't you factor in that Backus has been a clean player his entire career?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to give leeway one side, you got to give leeway on the other side, too. I understand you want to make an example of him, but it's 1 game or 2 games at most.
He caught his chin. He caught his chin with his shoulder. That's not a vicious hit. But
well, it's vicious enough to knock him out of the game.
I mean, a lot of things can knock you out of the game. You know, they can be precautionary. I mean, I don't know how him. I don't think him getting knocked out of the game should be a factor. And if it is a factor, then give Backus 1 game, tit for tat. Take him out with 1 game. The 3 game suspension is too much. I saw on the NHL Network yesterday, but there was no sound about an injury update on McAvoy. Did you see that, John?
No.
I did not see that.
Other than what we learned 2 days ago.
I did not see that.
All right. It was just, it said underneath the guy, an injury update on McAvoy.
Well, I mean, that's probably like Fox News always having news alert. It's usually stuff that you've already heard already.
All right.
I mean, I subscribed to all the hockey Twitters and stuff like that. There's nothing new.
Okay.
So what's the third line look like tonight?
Oh, boy.
I mean, you really got to...
I'm thinking Wingles is the center now on the third line.
Yeah, yep. Wingles is...
Heinen on one side and Jonta on the other, right?
Yes.
Fourth line's intact. No problems there. Top two lines with Riley Nash in the middle on the top line. So you got to figure Wingles will center the third line with Jonta and Heinen.
More proof that you need to get depth. You need to get depth at the trade deadline.
Because they've used everybody they got.
Yeah.
They needed everybody.
So give them credit for getting depth.
And this is what it's going to look like next 3 games.
Yep.
You got this one and the home in Chicago. What you see tonight is what you get the rest of the week.
Yeah, it's
you got to pray for no one else to get hurt.
It's an unfortunate time.
Suspended.
Mm-hmm. If this suspension would have happened 3 games ago, then you had not exactly a murderer's row of teams. But now you're going up against a very hot Philadelphia team. But by the way, never buy tickets from the Flyers, because the minute you do, you're on a list where they bombard you after every win. Hey, Flyers are playing well. Hey, tickets still available.
We're looking forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, great plans. Hey, please buy tickets. Say, I go to 1 game a year. Leave me alone.
Philadelphia's got to sell decent, right?
I'm sure they do fine, but they're coming. The Bruins earlier this season were popping off with all these deals. Those have gone away. But yeah. They were coming out with these deals like for weekday games, like Wednesday night games, where it was you could get a pretty good price, but those seem to have gone away.
Yeah, Philadelphia's not playing at capacity. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Half the league is playing to sellouts, and Philadelphia is not one of them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you know, because they can't get the deals out fast enough. All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That from a man who had a sleeve of former and current Bruins on his arm.
That was at the recap the other night, and intern Nick was speaking to one of them and said,
"Do you think Gronk is going to retire and be in the WWE?
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
We're talking hockey, babies."
So some guy at the station that works at the station had some article, and the belief in the article is that people don't in Boston don't want to hear about hockey. And 617-779-0985. I don't know if things have changed. Obviously, we were the first people in Boston to talk about hockey in a very long time, because when we came to WBCN, I figured, all right, this is an original six market. And I got half-season tickets to the Bruins.
Dave Lewis.
I should have known it.
God.
The arena was empty, and I should have known that I had tickets literally next to the Bruins bench. And I should have known that at that time, people were not interested. But we had them on.
Every week, Andrew Alberts, and people would say, "Why are you having Bruins on?" And we would say, "Well, I mean, we're hockey fans."
And then in 2011, I mean, the Bruins are the team here that I've adopted. I'm most passionate about. Same with Felger, the two of us. And the only reason we talked hockey before Felger, because I'm not aware that if Felger was on the radio or not when we first came here. But apparently there is an attitude out there that talking about hockey in Boston is poison. It wasn't in 2011 through 2013. In fact, in my opinion, the fan base of the Bruins is by far the most passionate. Now, the fan base for the Patriots is 1,000 times larger than the fan base for the Bruins. But the Bruins, when things are going well, and you could say that they went okay last year, but when things are going well and they're a legitimate cup contender like they are this year, I would put the Bruins up against any other team in town. And I'm just wondering if things have changed that much in the last 5 years that people are completely uninterested in hearing about the Bruins.
No. Because here's what happened. Did you remember how 2011 went down? Because for a couple of years beforehand, they obviously had very good teams. We had Aaron Ward on all the time. And we would talk about, and we would continue to talk about the team. And people would say, "Why are you talking about the Bruins?" But then when they started winning, all of a sudden, all of these different shows and stations that had mocked the Bruins looked like jackasses trying to catch up after that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And to be quite honest, because during the run of the Bruins, it was one of the best. It was one of the biggest buzzes our shows
it
had.
That was the first thing that legitimized the station.
Yep.
617-779-0985. But I'm open to listen.
But there is this attitude, and it's been like that for a while, and it's coming back. Just like really old school bad sports radio has come back. And that is that nobody cares about hockey in Boston. And those are people who just don't go to games. Those are people who just don't go down to the garden, and they don't see what's happening outside the garden.
Or from out of town. I mean,
it's just a jackass elitist attitude that I can't stand. And maybe that's because of the type of fans that each team brings. Maybe there's it's maybe too blue collar for them. I don't know.
Who's
maybe
saying this?
There are people in town who are saying
really?
That. And there's people in like writers who are like going, people from out of town who are like, "Oh yeah, this person knows what he's talking about." Screw you. When hockey is being talked about and the team is good, there's nothing bigger. On this station, like a 19 share or something when the Bruins were doing well back in 2011. 2013 was just as big. I play some of those clips of the recaps from back then. It was like a city on fire. I mean, it would sound like chaos downtown.
Yeah, obviously we've been here for multiple championships. We've been here for championship in each of the big four.
There's nothing like that 2011 win.
There was nothing like that 2011 season. And even 2013, because we had to make a television commercial. And in that commercial, we wanted to get audio of some of the best recaps outside of Bruins games. And we had to reject a lot of them because they were too loud.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were too overmodulated, and people, there were too many people screaming. Boy, I remember. I mean, it was like you had to go through it. I had to listen to it, and then I had Mike listen to it twice to make sure that there weren't like F-bombs flying in the background because people were going so insane.
Right. There was days where we had like six recaps.
But that is such an elitist attitude. That it's like, oh, nobody wants to hear about hockey. Well, you obviously don't. You don't go to the games. You don't understand. You don't go down to the TD Garden. You don't see what's happening down there. And I honestly think it's just that it's an old boys club, and it's been that way for a while, and it's coming back. That really bad radio that permeated the airwaves between like the 2000s until like 2010, it's back, and it's infecting everyone. And that attitude's come back, that nobody cares about hockey. Jackass, go to a game. Look at the ratings still. Even people are still watching the hockey games. The Celtics are a great story, but it doesn't mean people are going to stop talking about that to talk about the Bruins. And I understand how people got mad, you know, when we would talk a little bit of hockey during the Patriots season. Sure, people love the Patriots. And now that it's over with, there's no excuse. It's also because we legitimately like them. We legitimately like watching the games. And it seems like it's forced anywhere else.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a huge sentiment in town that you couldn't talk about
there
the
was
Bruins.
There was a bit that was like a mocking bit of Bruins fans that was called Hockey Talk. That they used to have. I think it was on the show you used to be on, right?
No, it was the afternoon program.
Okay. And they would just like...
Afternoon hockey talk, hello.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And they would mock these listeners. And you know what they looked like in 2000? They looked like jackasses. This is one of the hottest teams in hockey. They have a legit shot at winning the Stanley Cup this year, and yet there's this elitist attitude that we don't need to talk about that. We know what the people want. We set the dialogue for the city. Oh, what a bunch of... I mean, we're back to 2009 again. We're back to me sitting down in that meeting.
See, I don't understand.
And our program director sitting there and going, hey, you know what? We're gonna switch to sports talk. And me saying, I hate sports talk radio. And that's one of the main reasons I hated it.
I didn't know that this had come around. Every time we bring up the Bruins, we get phone lines. I mean, we get calls coming in regardless of time of day. I didn't know that this was a thing.
Well, Felger talks a great deal about the Bruins, and I think that he's doing okay. I think that the Felger and Maz show is doing just fine.
I don't see other... It's a great point. I don't see other fan bases trying to break the glass of the Comcast studio after the games. No,
hell you
do not.
No, if there's one place that we go, if you go to a game and that you're constantly recognized, it's the Bruins fans. And I've always thought the Bruins fans were kind of our people. And I think Felger feels the same way. Is that, you know, we appreciate everyone, but when it comes to the four major sports in town... That the Bruins fans are our people. I've always felt that way. I've always, you know, drank with those guys. I always want to stay around after the games.
It's the reason we've always stayed close with them. It's the reason that we continue to do all these charity events with them.
Plus, hockey players are by far the best athletes to deal with. Not so much the coach and general manager, who are impossible to get on, but the players are by far the best to deal with.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe things have changed. What do I know? But certainly an original six market with a team that's doing well, maybe things have passed us by. I can't, but I'm going to continue to talk about it because it interests me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and break down a game and sit here and, talk about every puck possession.
That's any sport. You only talk about when something interesting is going on.
Right. And so, you know, that's the deal. I'm not stopping. Because it's the team I care the most about. So I'm not stopping. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the Patriots and it's whoever's playing the best. That's what it is in this city. The Bruins have been the biggest story. The Red Sox have sort of been the biggest story. The Celtics have been the biggest story. It's just if the...
Although 2013 kind of felt like a... Did it, like with the Red Sox, because the reason it felt like a heh was that nobody cared about that team until like September.
Everyone was shocked.
Yeah.
Because they were coming off that Bobby Valentine season. And
that was an amazing season. But I remember like nobody cared about it until like September.
No, no one cared. No one cared. I think I would argue until October. No one cared until the ALCS.
Yep.
All right.
Who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
We're talking hockey, baby.
All right, we'll be back. There is a fan of the town Rich grew up in, a fan that you would expect of where Rich grew up.
Least surprising tweet I've seen this morning.
And it's funny because Rich spent a great deal of our meeting after the show yesterday marveling at how little his town he grew up in has changed So we will have that for you.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Kurt Schilling is a phenomenal piece of garbage that picks his nose and eats it. On his podcast, at least the one that we saw, he failed miserably when he was trying to quote-unquote help the people down in Houston after the flooding. He had a situation that Rhode Island, he caused Rhode Island such financial problems that they're still trying to dig themselves out of it, perhaps by installing those stupid-ass cameras to figure out if people are speeding.
Yeah, how many people showed up? How many people got tickets? It was like 12,000 people got tickets. Yeah, 12,000 people showed up. And it was, if you got over 10 miles over the speed limit, you got one of those.
I don't know. I heard from some people that got one going for 1 mile over the speed limit, they claim.
That might have been a school zone.
Well, it was, but there was no school. It was a weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like a glitch or something that they had in there, is that they forgot to switch things over.
Yeah.
So there were random tickets that were being sent out that you weren't even supposed to get one.
All right, so not to speak for Rich, but we've talked about this many times. Rich grew up in a town called Kennesaw where it's the law in Kennesaw. You have to own a gun, and take that for what you will.
It was a big middle finger to a town like back in the early 80s who had outlawed guns. And they said, oh, yeah, you're not taking our gun. So they actually passed a law that you were required to have a gun.
And Kennesaw also is the home of a store that Rich was showing everyone yesterday where they, you know, those lawn jockeys of like black guys?
Yep.
They sell those.
Oh, yeah.
They sell nooses.
Yep.
They take a picture of every black guy that comes into the store and they tack it up onto a board.
If you think I'm making this up, just Google Wild Men Dent Myers Civil War Surplus Store. Right there in the middle of this beautiful looking, kind of like a very quaint downtown, there's this place where you walk in and the first thing you see when you open up the door is a Klan robe.
And the idea is not that this place only exists, but it has thrived for decades.
And no one has, like, shut it down? No one has gone...
Well, you can't just shut it down, but I mean, the idea that you've got to keep it in business...
Right, like he's able to pay the rent.
Yeah, like that people patronize it enough, and it's funny because it's under the guise of Civil War memorabilia, but it's like... just so rate, like, you know, character drawings of Obama with, like, you know, completely like minstrel stuff with Obama.
There's like you know, signs that you put in your front yard for David Duke.
Yeah,
for Senate.
I mean, the whole idea is this guy is
like
just,
this is the centerpiece of your town. Yeah. Imagine going to, like, oh, I don't know, like the place in Quincy or something like that, and like the biggest building right next to the town hall is this place that when you walk in, the first thing you see is a Klan robe.
Yeah, Rich told us about
it. And a noose. And I showed it. It was one of those things, like, there's times where I think I'm dreaming and I have to go back and I have to Google things. And that was one just like the other day, because I was talking about my high school and I'm like, you know, we had 3 teacher student relationships in 1 year, and I remember there always being news cameras out in front of my thing, and so I started Googling. It seemed like a dream, and when I went to go Google to find out if that actually really happened, I ended up finding that there were like 17 arrests for my school in the last like 3 years. All horrible things. Teacher-student relationships was probably the least of all of them, but for some reason, CNN did a story on Kennesaw over the last 3 days. So I've been emailed the story like over and over and over again. And it's about how, hey, in a place where, in a world where everyone's trying to get rid of guns, there's one town that, oh, it's the law in Kennesaw where you're required to own a handgun. And to that, of course, guess who latched onto that right there? It would be Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling retweeted an article, not from CNN, but anyone guess what website?
Breitbart.
Oh, Breitbart? Yes, that would be Breitbart.
Okay.
Yep, and it said CNN has a talks about a town where guns are required. And Kurt Schilling, but look, some town in Georgia has found a way to make their guns not shoot people. And to that I say, Google Kennesaw murders. And I have found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 just in the past 5 years. As a matter of fact, remember that big shooting that happened at a FedEx plant? You guys remember a couple years ago? That was Kennesaw.
Oh, geez.
The guy showed up, shot 6 people at the Kennesaw plant. There's only 33,000 people in that town now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of a high rate of murders and, sure, and shootings in a town like that. But you know what, Kurt? You'd love it. It's heaven on earth, to be quite honest. You show up, you can wear your guns
all your
over
Nazi
the place.
Stuff to the guy at the store.
If you want to collect more Nazi stuff, go right to Wildman Dent Meyer's store. Take a little walk around, have a chuckle, buy some bumper stickers.
It's funny that he just doesn't do any research.
None. Just like, we'll retweet anything.
He just loves Twitter and being stupid. It's just not looking at anything. And he's just one of these guys, again, that's the most aggravating human beings that are so wildly dumb and think that they're geniuses. I mean, just so wildly stupid and sit around and think that they know everything. There's a term for it.
I just want him... he would love this. I just want people to see this place and go, this exists, and it's being praised for being this amazing. Anyone who's conservative or liberal, whatever you want to put your flag behind this story, just Google Wildman Dent Meyer's. That's allowed to happen in the middle of that town.
Right.
Amazing.
And I showed these guys yesterday, and you guys were like, how is this real? I mean, yeah. Could you imagine this opening up in like Everett or opening up in, let's say, like, you know, anywhere? Anywhere
it would be very difficult for it to open anywhere. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. I just moved back from Kennesaw, and I had a few friends that used to go in there all the time, and they always tried dragging me in, and I couldn't figure out what the place was. But it literally is one of the most racist-looking places in the world. It's crazy that they're even open in that area, especially with all the college kids and the police station right there. I don't understand it.
Well,
they got all kinds of paraphernalia. They got big festivals in the square there every summer, and they got flags and everything hanging out front, and people go in and out like it's a regular business. They're still in business.
Oh yeah, and it's like this beautiful town that you would never expect this thing right in the middle of it. You walk in, and sure enough, behind them there are Polaroids of every black person who's come in there. He takes a picture of them. And now he feigns as this is, oh, you're just real brave to come on in here. Ha, ha, ha,
that's still just saying something. You're real brave to come to my store.
I mean,
I will say this, though. Kennesaw State University has more strippers per capita than any other school.
I know that. I attended that for about 6 months when my grades went down at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
To get it back up at Kennesaw to get back in.
Every stripper spent a semester at Kennesaw State University until they didn't want to get up in the morning anymore.
Well, you know, we breed the finest in Kennesaw.
I'm not lying. Kennesaw State University was like, if you got, I know someone who had an apartment by Kennesaw State University that had a pool, and oh my, on like Sundays,
yeah.
There you go. You can get past the bad tattoos. There was a lot of silicone and a lot of good-looking girls. All right.